talking to this together, and then I can just occasionally, we can focus on the conversation. So it's Helen Melissa sitting here on Tuesday evening at 10 to 6. My goodness, we better get going. With Monica. And Monica, introduce yourself.
So I'm a regulator in public affairs manager in Expra. We are just two people. We have some consultants, but it's my managing director, Joachim Korn, who you contacted already,
yes.
And myself. And the Expra was established in 2013, so we are celebrating 5 years now, which is one of the occasions for this event. And we have 26 members as of now, which include EU member states. We have Turkey, we have Macedonia, we have Bosnia and Herzegovina, we have Israel, and we have Canada, so Quebec.
Mm.
So we are kind of international, not only European-based.
So what's the difference? As an organization, you're growing, you're very young. 5 years is comparatively
young. Before, there was another organization called Pro-Europe, which within which our members cooperated for over 20 years. I mean, since the Packaging and Packaging Waste Directive in 1994, which was adopted within the European Union. Since this legislation, gradually in different countries, one by one, there were established packaging recovery organizations mm-hmm. based on extended producer mm-hmm. responsibility. And the characteristics are usually that the industry, the obliged industry, that should take care of the packaging after it's used.
Yes.
Usually it was in the force of establishing such organizations because extended producer responsibility, we believe, is the best tool, meaning that compared, for example, with taxes, because the taxes, then the state is not always so flexible. And in the extended producer responsibility case, no matter if it's one organization like here in Belgium or in Spain, or if there are several organizations like in my country, Bulgaria, the idea is that the industry is a part of the board of the organization. Mm. It is not for profit, and it also follows that it's very efficient because we have Coca-Cola, Danone's, Nestle's in the board.
Mm.
So, you know, you're not like a state administration that you can, you know, relax and do things slowly, but you have the industry on your back, following how you perform. And then, of course, there is a lot of legal requirements that you have to meet. And especially if you're not for profit, it's, you know, you all your fees you collect, you invest in infrastructure, in paying the municipalities in many cases to do the job, and in communication and information campaigns like anti-littering. And in our case, it's about separate collection of packaging waste.
So do you, what is your view of things such as container deposit legislation then? Does the organization have a view on that?
It depends how it happened. For example, in our Norwegian member, they had deposit much, much longer before they have EPR system.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it functions because it was established in this way. We are not supportive of introducing deposit when there is an EPR system functioning, especially if it's functioning well, because it will take part of the resources. The people will be a bit confused because if you train for 20 or 10 years people how to sort their waste, and then out of the sudden you start a new training or new scheme, it is always difficult. And at the end of the day, it's not clear how the results will be, so it will be efficient to do this, because the deposit sounds an easy solution, but it's not always the case.
And
if you take a part of the because EPR cares about all the packaging, and the deposit also the more expensive materials, which also provide revenues, because usually the budget is 50. About 50% from the fees from the companies and 50% from selling the material, which is in the most of the countries. And then if you take 40% of this because it's the most expensive, it will distort the system. And if the system, like in Belgium, it's found, I mean, they have the highest results, it is not very logical why you want to change. And we just have discussion in the communication working group about litter, and it's proven, and even this NGO Clean Europe Network said that it's proven that the deposit does not solve the litter issue, because we have also other, not only packaging. Packaging is, of course, part, but you have cigarette butts, which is a big problem. You have chewing gum. So you just take away the bottles from.
So what analysis was that they brought today? What
they're trying to establish a methodology tool, but it's still in the development. So they are now They have tested it, and now they're trying to make it a product, so they are collecting stakeholders. But the idea is to have a tool to measure littering, because how you measure? I mean, you see litter, but it's like here and say, and they're trying to have this more organized approach. How to measure? There is.
And
this
what's the name of the organization?
Clean Europe Network.
Clean Europe Network.
Yes.
Is that a not-for-profit, a community?
It is not-for-profit, but it's also have members. We are friend of this as of this year.
Clean Environment.
Yeah, Europe. Clean Europe Network.
Clean Europe Network.
I can send you the coordinates of the.
Yes. That would be great. You don't have to do it now, but yes, if you can do that, say tomorrow or something, Monica, that would be great. So
that's the idea, because everyone is speaking, but no one is doing things, and they are trying also to organize exchange of information like we do, but they are covering litter in general, and we, of course, only on packaging.
We have a situation in Australia where there is mounting pressure for governments to adopt container deposit legislation and schemes because of littering concerns. We have different systems here. We don't have EPR schemes for packaging recovery like you do. And now we have the biggest state, New South Wales, has just decided that they are going to put in place a container deposit scheme at considerable cost. So it's going to make things quite complicated for us, because we have curbside collection from the households, and we will now have this as well. So
It sounds very easy solution, but as I said, and it's as all the experience shows, and it was very funny, because in Europe, Estonia is shown as the best example of deposit scheme, but actually it is, you know, how do we interpret the data? And what we hear is now that it's a big problem. It costs four times more than EPR. It doesn't work very well. And at the end of the day, they are trying now to increase the cost for the industry, because for the deposit, because it's not very well working. And it's really, I mean, in Norway, they're used to it, so it's somehow managed there. But if you do it other way around, like Estonia, and also in Germany, Joachim is always sending these reports from NGOs and from the government that the system is not very well performing there. And it's kind of a bit, although in Europe also, but also I think worldwide, when you say Germany, you imagine, you know, the perfect system and everything works. You know, like.
No, well, I've just come from Germany, and we stayed with a friend, and you know, I understand that there are different schemes, and you also have a curbside scheme, and I was like, oh, right, okay, it's and they're competitive, and they are for profit.
Yes. So, you know, when it's for profit,
yes,
it's a
it becomes a very different picture. Well, you see, our collections are paid for by the ratepayer. So I pay $360 a year for my household collection, which is waste, recyclables, and organics. $390 a year. That's very cheap for our municipality. Some are more expensive.
Is paper collected? It's in the recyclables, or
all together? It's not good.
Yeah, it's in Greece, with, it's the with system, yeah.
Because it's with the glass, with the cans, with the plastic, with the paper, with the
soiled,
carpet.
Yeah.
It gets soiled. So the paper is damaged by the glass, and the glass, it's a mess. It's dirty and not very pleasant. So we are having, because of China and the low price we're getting, there is more conversation now about how do we change the system in order to get the, you know, a better quality material. But everywhere I've gone, glass is separate from the paper and the cardboard.
I don't know if you've been, I don't remember in your agenda in UK,
Not yet. We go next.
It was my visual. I will never forget this because we visited a sorting plant in the Netherlands, which was very high tech for glass, only for glass, which divided glass in five fractions. So it was like autumn leaf, which is light brown. I don't remember all the colors, but it was from white until dark, all kind of shades, five types. And because it was very sophisticated, they even cannot show us how the process. So it was five story for this separation, and we could see only the lower and the highest floor because it's a trade secret, okay? But it was so funny to see a glass from Belgium and the Netherlands and from UK. So for Belgium and the Netherlands, it's separated by color. So it was like pure glass. And then from UK, it's like garbage with some glass pieces. So yeah, it's they're giving EPR not a very good image, but you will
No,
see. So,
and I will we will see that when we get there.
but it was, you see the contrast because it's, I mean,
It's
you
so
hear it,
visual.
but when you see it, one next to the other, it's
I tell you, it's awful. If you come to an Australian sorting facility, it's horrible. You have glass going through the air. It's not good.
I mean, I always, we watch films and things about Australia, such a nice country, and
Well, we don't have much litter, but we have this general waste bin. The decision was made, I don't know, back in the 80s or something, to go to one bin for convenience
yeah, it's easier, yeah, that's
and
no.
volume, but you end up with poor quality material. So I think we are at a stage where we are thinking that that's not a good idea and we should change to something else.
Yeah, but it will take a lot of time because now in Greece they also a new law will require them to have four streams. So now they have two, like wet and dry, and it will be four streams. And it's very difficult to change because, for example, in Bulgaria we started in 2004 with a separate collection and with the legislation, and it takes so much time to change the perception of the people because it just it's the old people. It's very important to focus on the kids because they are the ambassadors, they train their parents, but it's really, it takes
Yes,
more,
but you
very
have, I
difficult.
know, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, of
And
course.
if you don't have a vision or know how to get there,
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
never
yeah.
going to get there.
Yes, yeah.
So.
No, I can say that after 10 years, people are really very conscientious and they
Yes.
do the right thing, but
Yes.
it just takes time.
So, from your point of view, Monica, which are the most outstanding schemes that you think are an exemplar for
It's very difficult to say because it's very specific. As you
by
heard from,
culture?
because you heard from first here, the people are so disciplined in Belgium. Oh, most of the people, of course, there is always. But for example, when there was, it was so funny when there was. Well, it wasn't funny, but it was funny the reaction of the colleagues from different countries when we had the attacks here in Brussels Airport, and then the authorities said to people, "Don't go out." So no one really, I mean, very few people on the street, and we had, of course, then we had some event, and there was the colleagues from Turkey and Macedonia, and they said, "Why no one is on the street?" But I said, "Because the authorities say people should not go out the street." "In the
So
boschkas."
what?
"No, the government said it doesn't matter." So and here also they have this carrot and stick a little bit because, as probably Ruth explained, they have this PMD sack.
Yes.
But it's also transparent. So if it's not right things there, they put a red
Oh no, she didn't tell me
they
that.
put a red and then they don't collect it. So it stays like shame. And especially for smaller buildings, it's it works because it's
So why is it in a bag and not in a bin?
they
Is
decided to
it
have this system. I don't know.
how long ago? I should have asked her that.
It's Fosplus exists for 20 years, so I think possibly for
Because
this
in
period.
Australia, the dogs and the foxes and the birds
But
and
here also the birds are a problem, not because here
yes.
not no stray dogs and cats mostly, but the crows, they're very
Yes,
strong.
yes,
Yeah,
yes.
it's also
Oh, yeah.
it's visible. I don't know why they decided, possibly because, for example, again, it's about the culture, because in Bulgaria we try to have in the beginning mixed systems, so to see what works, and then people took the bags and used them for different things. Because it's also about economic development and things, especially in small villages. just doesn't work. So we have, yeah, it's all different solutions. And as we say in the presentations, that the yes. directive is implemented in every country, it's in a specific way. Mainly it's containers in all over Europe, but like Belgium or the Netherlands, or, you know, it's very funny, but the system in Cyprus, for example, was developed by the Belgians. So, yeah, it's curious, but it somehow works. It's, of course, very small. Of course, they have other problems, like, you know, following how the waste is further processed, because they are islands, so they don't have some capacities. But it's, and also in Israel, they have used the Belgian model, although they have containers, they don't have bags. But, yeah, Belgian, the colleagues were very active in international relations till 2 years ago, then focus on Belgium, because with the new EU legislation, you know, the new targets and the new requirements, it will require each country, because after you reach this high percentage of recycling, for example, of plastic, then each percent more is very expensive and very hard
to get. Yes, yes. It's easy in the early stages.
Yeah.
Yes. So how is, so have you been having a lot of conversations about the European circular economy strategy? And for, not to, in general, and also for plastics, for both?
We followed very closely, of course, the package, but mainly the Waste Framework Directive and the Packaging Capacity Waste Directive, obviously. And we are very happy to say that based on our discussions with the institutions and the Commission, we organized for the Commission people who are writing it a visit to a sorting plant, because, you know, this time when they were writing the directives, revising the directives, it was before, it was only DG Environment, General Directive Environment. And now they had also GROW, so other people who didn't know anything about waste management. I mean, they were very positive, but they don't know that it's not their job. So we organized a site visit to a sorting plant so they can see what exactly they're going to regulate. And it was so funny because, you know, there were some people, you know, that for the first time seeing, you know, bales of plastic or things like that. But with all these activities and also providing our members information, because, you know, sometimes there is not so practical information. You know, you have the Eurostat, which is, you know, you can say it's correct or not very. And they don't have these practical things. And also because, for example, now they say you measure recycling when entering final recycling process. What is final recycling process? For example, if you put this, the cap, it's not recycled with the same recycler. It's recycled by another recycler, but it's separated within the recycling process. So there are some technicalities.
Yes, what is definitions?
Definitions and also some other things, but we are very happy that also based on our efforts and the industry, now we have minimum requirements about EPR. Because before it was implemented as in UK, it's called EPR, but it's very, you will see how it is. It is trading of papers, I think. Of this, so actually the business is covering less than 10% of the costs. Of
Is it just covering the collection, or
it's a, you know, it's very PRN system which I cannot fully explain. They will explain.
Oh, but I will see.
It is they are buying certificates that some quantities have been recycled, so there is no relations between the, like here for example in Fosbrus, as you heard. They cover the cost for the whole treatment of, I mean, until the recycling. And in UK, it's a very special system. It's also in Poland, like this, this trading of certificates, which is, you know, there is no direct link between the industry and the local authorities at the end of the day. And the, they cover 10% of the cost, which obviously doesn't
help. It's not enough. No.
And now it said that it should be covered at least 50 to 80% if the system is not in the new legislation. And EPR for packaging will be obligatory as of 2025. And there are also a lot of requirements, like, for example, transparency. Because this is one of the problems in Germany, that because they are for profit, it's a trade secret, so they cannot know the results of each PRO. And there is this famous Article 8A from the new Waste Framework Directive, which sets all these requirements regarding EPR. So it will be kind of
a more level
playing field. And yeah, it will be, but you heard also from the Commission, I guess.
Yes. I met with Werner yesterday and this morning with Hugo Schally. Hugo was excellent. He was really, I was very impressed by him.
Postman is a bit, you know, focused on deposit, but they are a bit like that. But yeah, so we are very happy that we have these new regulations about EPR, so it will be more easily for our members to implement, because you know each government before had their ideas and it was not level playing field, and it was difficult.
And data is so hard to understand, it's all around definition. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we are very happy that within these discussions we managed to have this EPR more, you know, clear rules. And
Well, it makes it better for EPR as well to have, as you say, the UK, you know, to be, they'll have to improve or change their definition.
Yeah, and also for the other countries and, you know, with this, that's what a thing that we are trying to do within EXPRA to help our members implement the new legislation, meaning that we are now trying to, because, you know, we of course keep information about the members, but we are trying now to have a very detailed data about them, so we can cluster them in different clusters, and then we can provide more targeted support. And we are also trying to establish a help desk for the circular economy, so we can advise how, so because usually our members are in contact with their ministries because they report to the ministries, and they also can you know, suggest practical solutions for the implementation of the circular economy and the directives. Because again, there is some overall regulations, but of course each government, each country has, according to the subsidiarity principle, it can build upon or...
You know, yes, and there's the pledging selected for caps or labels and so on.
Yeah,
so
this is also something that our members support the industry, especially the big members like the Spanish, Ecoembes, CUNAI, the Italian.
No, keep going.
So they also have, and also Fosplus, they have a special expert who deals with eco-design, providing advice to companies, especially this is usually the big companies have such R&D development parts, but for smaller national companies, this is very important, and they have this consultancy that they provide to the members, well, the companies. And we in EXPRA, we are developing a tool that will provide information if a packaging, so if a producer would like to start importing in some country, he can check whether his packaging is collected in that country, because it's country-based, whether it's collected, when it's collected, how it is processed. So it's in the making now, but we are also trying to do this so it can help companies to orient themselves. It's not very detailed, but just to have an impression, because first, you have to collect if you're going to recycle, and then you're going to recycle. And then some tips, so how it can be made more easily recyclable.
Yes.
Because as I guess you heard from the Commission, they have this suggestion in the legislation, but also in the plastic strategy about modulated fees. But again, it's not, I mean, it sounds reasonable and we support it, but we are now trying within our members, because for example, in Italy, they already started to implement such fees. But it's based on the on the type of packaging, meaning the it's bottle or it's a bag. And then CTO in France, they're not members, but they have this bonus malus, which mean that for opaque packaging, they charge double fee.
For which packaging?
Opaque, which is, you know, the plastic, which is opaque.
Oh, opaque. That's all right. They charge double.
Yeah, it's kind of penalty. So you should not produce it, you know, because it's more expensive. So is this modulated fee or it's just a punishing fee? So it's, you know, it's not easy to have one solution. And then if you have different solutions in different countries,
I see. Sorry. So it's better to have it see-through than... Yes. Okay, I follow. I was thinking opaque.
Or if you have colored, because it's, again, difficult. You have to separate it again, which makes it more expensive. But our belief, but we are still in the discussions within our members, is that it should be based on the cost that will be for the whole process, so collection and recycling. Because if you have a red, for example, bottle, even if transparent, then you have to separate it, and then you have to have certain amounts to be economically viable to recycle it. Because if you have, like, from 1 ton, if you have 5 kilos, it's, you cannot bring 5 kilos to the recycling plant. So this is, you know, again, it's a good idea and we will try to implement it. But as I said, it takes time and you know, to
I'll be very interested to hear more about that, Monica, because that's On the face of it sounds sensible to have a variable fee according to recyclability.
Exactly.
How you apply it is the challenge.
Exactly. Because it's already we have the CTO option, which we are not fully aligned that it's because it's not. We see modulated fees should reflect, as we said, the costs. And in this case, it's not the cost. It's just because they want to punish the producer of opaque plastic, so you charge double. But it's not based on something. It's just,
A
it
nominal.
was, yeah, their minister who actually wanted to have this like that. They had it. So this is an issue that we are discussing within our members, and we haven't found yet the perfect solution, but it's in discussion, and it's usually
Well,
the
we
way.
had a, but you see, what was interesting with FOS Plus was that they said that
Yeah, they also
they
are
have a
working. Yeah.
differential fees. So, yes, they have a differential fee system. So
But I
she's.
think theirs is on the material, and for the Italian is about the type of packaging. So it's different approaches that we are
Oh, I
trying.
see. So,
But
so.
it's both are option. I mean, both are way to do it. It's just we are trying to find the common principles of, because you cannot say to Conai, the Italians, no, you change from today another system. But we are trying to find some common principles, because as you probably heard from the Commission, they will be issuing 19 implementing acts that will provide more guidance how to implement
Yes, it'd
all
be
these things.
important to be able to influence and support that,
And yeah, just
to
to
advise on
provide,
what is a
yeah,
good
to
way.
provide the practical options, and then they can choose,
Yes.
but just, not to come from.
An ultimate objective is circularity, then it should take into account a range of factors, which is the mechanical process, the different materials that are used, the complexity of it. Is there an end market or no end market?
Yes, this is
Those,
another issue that is being discussed, and
so how do you put all that
yeah.
together? It's not easy.
And there are always these discussions between the industry and the commission that, well, the institutions, that there should be some promotion of secondary materials, like, decreasing the
Recycled content.
VAT or, yeah, or something
Yes.
like that, to find the end markets. Because at the end of the day, if you don't, I mean, the companies can pay more and more, but if you don't use the final result, then you're
Yes.
not circular at the end of the day.
Yes. Yes.
So this is another issue that the
So
commission.
when is that going to be resolved, do you think, Monica?
Well, they have by March, I think, 19, 2019, they have to have the implementing act. So
Right.
by
I'll
then.
ask Hugo before March.
Yes, please.
Okay.
And then otherwise, for the EPR requirements, it's going to be adopted this month, we believe, by the council, because it was voted in the parliament. So it's in the final stage, and translations, which is also, by the way, very important issue, the translations,
Yes,
because
you need a
we
different.
ask our members to check very carefully with their governments how it is translated in the respective language, the EU member states, which we have 17 from EU. And then for the EPR requirements, member states have 54 months to adjust, because it's usually 2 years the time for directives to be transposed into the national legislation. But for this, because it changes a bit, in some countries it will be a lot of change, like Poland, for example, or Denmark, because they have mainly the incineration options. So that's why they decided to give more time to adoption.
The schemes will have to change.
We are working with our members, because so far, especially in the newer member states, but also there are special countries like Bosnia and Herzegovina, for example, where the government changes, and then everything changes. So there are also these circumstances. So we are trying to, as I said, to cluster members to provide more assistance, because they have to perform. Because, I mean, if we are saying that EPR is the best tool in our beliefs, we have to prove that. So all our members have to follow and to reach the requirements, the legal requirements. Of course, it depends from country to country, but
Yes.
it will take a lot of efforts. And we have, because the Commission is also mentioning in the legislation to have this early warning system, and we are establishing our early warning system within members, because the Commission we think it's a bit late, the early warning mm-hmm. system, and we're establishing hours. So the colleagues are working from, we have different working groups, and one of the working groups is doing this. They have this methodology to estimate when each member will reach the new targets. Now we are speaking only about the targets, and if they continue to work as of now, or they if they will need to do some changes. So we are already trying to have this finish by before the summer break, and then you know, everyone will see what is the situation, so how they will need to improve.
Yes.
To reach this.
Rather than leave it too late.
So that's.
You have plenty of work.
Yes. We are trying. It's about 10 hours per day or more, but it's never boring.
It's never boring. That's why we work in this space, I think.